Good morning. Thanks for starting your day with us, Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Busy show today. Mav Day, which gets started a little bit earlier today. Chris Hanks has a conference call at 9 this morning, so the skipper of the number one team in the nation, Colorado Mesa Mavericks, Chris Hanks will join us at 8:40 this morning. Also talk with Mavs first baseman Jordan Stubbings. CMU interim softball coach Mercedes Boti will join us. The Maverick softball team hosting the RMAC tournament this week. And then Sir Aristotle from the Maverick softball team will also join us on the program today. So we have a lot going on today. Text or call the show 970-242-1340. Big win for the Avs last night. Didn't play great the first two periods. Philip Grubauer was absolutely sensational last night. 36 saves. Avs were fantastic.
Could have been in a Cirque du Soleil show last night.
He could have been last night.
Really good.
Exactly. Penalty kill was really good last night for the Avalanche. Your boy JT Compher gets the game-winning goal last night. Let that go. He played at Michigan. How long ago? That was now decades ago, it seems like. It wasn't that long, but let it go. He plays for our hockey team, dude. Let it go.
I'm trying.
Let that go.
I'm not that much of a grown-up.
And just for you, I'm going to play a JT Compher cut in a little bit.
Okay.
On the game winner last night. So the Avalanche, they take down the Golden Knights. They had to win it in regulation last night, and they did. Now they have to beat the LA Kings twice. And the LA Kings, I caught some of the post with Cal Keefe. Mm-hmm. Mark Rykoff's, I don't know if you had a chance to see the, of course it was late last night, the suit that he was wearing.
I have not.
It is. It's a Mark Rykoff suit, no doubt about it. It's a blue, sparkly,
okay,
spectacle,
yeah,
of color and wonder.
The old Rikers got some style question marks, I guess.
Yeah, he goes big when it comes to his fashion. Like they had John Michael Lyles from his whiskey/wine cellar on the Zoom call.
I wish I had a whiskey cellar, to be honest.
Yeah. I got a kind of like a whiskey basement.
I have a whiskey laundry room. That's where all the whiskey is stored.
Okay. All right, doing a little laundry, you know? Glug, glug, glug.
Yeah.
Scotchy, scotch, scotch.
Little soap in the washing machine, a little whiskey in the washer, yeah.
A little scotchy, scotch, scotch while I'm doing my underwear. I mean, you could do that, so. We have a lot to get to today. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line 970-242-1340. We start out with our Qdoba question of the day. It's Double Points Tuesday, by the way. Get the app to track the points. Stop by your local Qdoba today. Don't forget Junction Montrose locations. You can get breakfast at Qdoba. The big story is that Tim Tebow is coming back to the NFL after 6 years in the broadcast and minor league baseball desert, just wandering aimlessly out there. He is finally returning to his home, football, to Jacksonville, where he played high school football for the coach that he won a national championship with and a Heisman Trophy in Urban Meyer, to play tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars, expecting to sign a one-year contract to play for the Jags. So my question is this, because there's a lot of people that still hold Tim Tebow near and dear to their hearts here in the state, here in Broncos country. Our position on the program has always been, I think Tim Tebow is a great guy. I think he's one of the greatest college football players ever.
Yeah. He seems like just a good dude.
And just seems like a heck of a nice guy. Read his book, his family's work as missionaries, and just, he's a super good guy.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, he was not a spectacular NFL quarterback. There was a lot more hype than there was substance about Tim Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
And so that being said, that look, I'm happy for Tim. This is what Tim wants, right?
Sure.
Apparently, that's what he wants. He wants to be back in the NFL. Urban Meyer's going to give him that opportunity to play tight end, and he's supposed to be somewhat of a role model, you know, mentor for Trevor Lawrence going forward.
Right.
And so
hopefully more off the field than on the field.
Yeah, I think Trevor Lawrence is a pretty
motion. He throws a good ball. Yeah, so let's not let Tebow play with
that. I think it's more just a big brother guy played in the league for 6 years. Lean on me a little bit.
It's not like Trevor Lawrence needs a guy to kind of keep him
because he's a
funky.
He's a pretty dialed in young man. It's not like Trevor Lawrence is this wild.
Right.
He's not steaming Willie Beeman. I mean, come on.
He's not Dwayne Haskins.
He's a guy that's pretty dialed in with with social justice issues and things like that, and pretty grounded in his faith from everything I've always read.
He could kind of give Tebow a run for best dude on the Jags.
Exactly. So that being said, I mean, he's going to be like a big brother, kind of mentor role. I just think somebody just to be a sounding board when things are rough. But
it's going to be a lot in Jacksonville.
It's going to be a lot. So the cutable question of the day today, excited or don't care about Tebow being back in the NFL?
Do not care.
I guess I have to answer it this way. I'm happy for him if this is what he wants at the age of 33 to play in the league again. Okay. I wish him nothing but the best. Hope it works out. Keep in mind, he's never played tight end at any stage of his high school, college, or NFL career. 33. Has never played the position. And things that I always read about, number one, his determination to make it as a quarterback was one of the things that, I'm a quarterback. That's what I do. I'm going to play quarterback in the NFL. I'm going to prove everybody wrong.
Yeah, he'll be 34 in August.
So, he could have made this move a long time ago and didn't want to. And now he's tried out as a tight end. I've always read that, not the greatest receiver. As much as we talk about his athleticism, and he's an athletic guy, there's no doubt about it. Never had the best hands. Remember the Jets, he played on special teams mostly.
Right.
After the Broncos said, hey, where do you want to go? Where do you want to get traded to? I want to go to New York. I want to play for the Jets. They made that happen and it didn't work out there. And then was with the Patriots and the Eagles. But it's been 6 years since he's played in an NFL game, and the last one was he played for the Eagles in a preseason game. He's one of their final cuts.
If you want to relate it to an airplane, he's fantastic at taxiing. Arrivals and departures of the football and its flight are all kind of sketchy.
Yeah. So I guess, am I taking the easy way out here and saying, I'm happy for him if this is what he wants, which obviously it is. If you're Jacksonville, this makes a lot of sense for them. Not on the field.
Right.
Makes total sense in marketing. You had the number one pick in the draft in Trevor Lawrence. It's going to put some butts in the seats. And then you bring back Tim Tebow to Jacksonville. Backdoor, he is beloved to be on this team with Urban Meyer, who obviously had great success at the University of Florida.
Yeah.
And it's for Shad Khan, it's purely let's put some more fannies in the seats.
It's a PR deal.
When we need to, in a year after they desperately, and all NFL teams do, need to recoup some losses from last year in terms of ticket sales, this is the kind of thing that makes sense for them. And if it doesn't work out, it's extremely low risk. Michael, okay, my question is this. Maybe this is a better question than are you excited or not. Is he on the roster to start the regular season?
Well, he's got to be at this point, right?
I would think
What's the whole point of the exercise if you're just going to cut him in camp?
Because it's not like he is Rob Gronkowski and one of the best ever at his position.
Right.
And decides to retire and then decides to come out of retirement. He's going to be 34 and he's never played tight end. It's an entirely different skill set. And he's been playing baseball for the last couple of years. So, well.
Yeah. No, he's been playing baseball. Yeah.
I mean, he got up to AAA. That's, you know, that's not entirely.
That's not nothing.
That's not nothing. I mean, you got to be somewhat athletic and to be, he got farther than Michael Jordan did in minor league baseball.
Neither of them could hit a curveball. Yeah,
neither of them could. So,
a couple of little Pedro Serranos running around there. I could no hit curveball.
Could no hit curveball.
Straight ball hit very much. And not even, hey, those guys couldn't really hit a straight ball very much either.
At least Pedro Serrano could mash on, you know, a dead red, you know, right across the.
Yeah, Tebow and Jordan had trouble with guys 92 and up.
Yeah. 85.
Well. I mean, you know, yeah. 89, 90, okay. You'd probably 89, 90. Get around on that.
Sure. So I think it's because it's kind of automatic. He has to be on this roster, right?
He kind of has to. What's the whole point of the exercise if you're going to cut him in August?
Because you want people to show up to watch the Jags this year if you're Shad Khan. So excited or don't care about Tebow back in the NFL?
I do not care.
I'm happy for him. I hope it's a nice ending for his career. To go there and make a roster.
Jags highlights are going to be in the A block of every sports center until he's off the team.
Exactly.
Look at this wonderful block thrown by number 15, the tight end.
Do I think that it makes the NFL so much better that he's there? No, not really.
I'm on his Pro Football Reference page.
Right.
His weighted career value for how valuable he is to the teams he's played on.
Uh-huh.
There are 7,100 players more valuable since 1960. Not 71. Not 700. 7,088 more valuable players since 1960.
And now he's going to play a different position.
Right.
A position he's never played in his life.
Is there maybe a tight end on the waiver wire or walking the streets selling tires or cleaning gutters or something because he's tall, that could bring more to a football team on the field than Tim Tebow? Is he doing what he did for the Mets? Is he doing that now for the Jags? Taking a roster spot from somebody who could actually use it?
That's a possibility. Yeah, I don't think that's an unfair thing to say about him. Like, it's a gimmick. Let's just be honest about that. It's a huge, huge gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Am I happy for him? Sure. It's fine. I just think that, you know, they have James O'Shaughnessy, Luke Farrell, Chris Manhertz is the number one guy at the depth position. He's a starter tight end. Tim Tebow listed on the Jags depth chart as the number four tight end right now.
Good. That's where he should start. He needs to at least prove he can play the position.
All right. So if you got some thoughts today, our Qdoba question of the day today, excited or don't care about Tebow back in the NFL, expected to sign a one-year deal with the Jags. Also, if you got some thoughts about the Avalanche beating Vegas last night. We've talked about how bad the third period has been. Well, last night, third period for Colorado was their best period of the night. And they got outshot.
We shamed them into better focus.
Exactly. 37-21 got outshot actually in the fourth period, but made the most of the opportunities they had. They got outshot like 15-4 in the third, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
But JT Compher, your boy, Michigan great, JT Compher. Getting the game winner last night for the Avalanche.
The crowd goes meh.
Oh, come on! Put your love of the Avalanche before your hatred of Michigan. Can't you be that way?
I am. That's why I'm very even keeled about this. If it was a team I didn't like, it would be way worse.
Okay. 7:15, Jim and the Buckeye Boy today.
Oh, come on, Mike Chambers in the post. He scored a gritty goal. Yeah.
Oh, shut up. Come on. I mean, he did.
Okay.
Get off Mike Chambers' back. It was a gritty goal last
night. Gritty goal.
And
well, he's a scrappy little player.
And Newhook. Newhook playing a role in that whole thing.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
He played pretty well last night.
Yeah, all right. So, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. All right, let's get to...
What's happening?
All right, start out with last night's Avalanche game. Avs taking on the Vegas Golden Knights at T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. The Avs hope of the President's Trophy and home playoff ice advantage stayed alive with their 2-1 win at the Vegas Golden Knights Monday night. Colorado was outshot 37-21, but Avs goalie Philip Grubauer was the difference with his 36 saves.
Personally, it was nice to get that game and get those 2 points for sure. From a team perspective, I don't think it was one of our best games. I think we dialed it up a notch in the last period, made the right choices, played the right way, but I think the first two were some periods to forget for sure.
JT Compher scored the game winner 11:33 in the third period as the Avs host the LA Kings tomorrow and Thursday, needing to win both games to win the President's Trophy. The opening game of the Rockies and San Diego series is rained out Monday as Colorado prepares to face the Padres tonight at Coors Field. The Rockies will play 6 of the next 10 games against San Diego, with Colorado getting some bad news about first baseman CJ Krohn. The veteran is placed on the 10-day injured list with a lower back strain retroactive to May 7th. Krohn is second on the team in home run, slugging percentage, and average. First pitch at 6:40 tonight. You can hear the game on the Team Sports Network. High school baseball and the Southwestern League opener today for Fruit of Monmouth hosting Montrose at Canyon View this afternoon. Wildcats are 2-2 after playing in the Bill Fanning Memorial Classic. Indians, 7th ranked in 4A, they have yet to lose a game. They're at 3-0 with wins against Battle Mountain, Montezuma, Cortez, and Alamosa on their ledger. Wildcats head coach Ray McLennan says the Indians are always a tough team to face, and he's less familiar with them this season.
When we actually really don't know much about them, we know they'll be formidable. You know, Coach Wareham does a great job of getting those guys ready, and whether they're young or old, they're going to compete with you. I think we'll have our hands full, and hopefully we can put something together where we're competitive this week.
On the Montrose side of things, they face a Wildcats team that's looking to retain their Southwestern League championship. Indians head coach Landon Wareham says beating the Wildcats is always a tough task, but they're up to the task.
I mean, I'm always just amazed at the quality of kids that they have down there in Fruita, and they're always tough to beat. I mean, that's the truth of it. We're a 4A team, and it's something to try to get a win against them, and we look forward to the challenge.
So the Indians play at Canyon View against Fruita Monmouth today, pregame at 3:45, first pitch at 4 o'clock on the Team Sports Network, and then we'll follow that with the Rockies and Padres, first pitch at 6:40 tonight from Coors Field. Keeping on high school baseball, the Delta Panthers open up their baseball season today after not being able to play a game all of last year due to the pandemic. That means younger players are a year behind in their development, missing out on some crucial innings. Panthers head coach Steve Reier says a missed season like 2020 means some of their older players are almost like freshmen.
They didn't get a season, obviously, so essentially we were trying to teach, you know, everything we do to essentially two freshman classes, you know. We had to get creative with some of the things we did as far as scrimmages go. So, yeah, it was definitely a challenge.
The Panthers are the preseason number 5 team in 3A baseball. They take on Durango today in Durango to start out their season. And that's a quick look at...
What's happening?
All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Excited? Don't care about Tim Tebow coming back to the NFL? Is it almost a certainty he's going to be on the Jags roster to open the season?
I think so, yeah.
Do they have the luxury of carrying 4 tight ends in Jacksonville?
I mean,
he's going to have to play on special teams a lot.
Something
else he didn't do a whole lot of except when he was with the Jets.
That's why I fear they're going to cut a guy that can contribute way more than Tebow to keep Tim Tebow.
But if he brings you 10,000, 20,000 extra people, if you're Shad Khan, you're looking at the ledger, is his value, it's more as a draw, an attraction, than it is about what he can actually do on the football field.
But if he doesn't actually help you win games, does that draw even matter?
It matters in the coffers of Shad Khan. It matters to the the financials of the Jacksonville Jaguars. If he brings in more people to watch the Jags this season, they may consider that more of a greater value than a tight end that could perhaps maybe help them out a little bit more. But the Tebow's presence there from a financial standpoint to go along with Trevor Lawrence could be a huge plus for them. There's a lot of people that wax nostalgic about Tebow, and they may consider that a more valuable asset than anything he can do on the football field or what somebody else could do in that spot. I get what you're saying. I don't disagree with it, but
at this point, Shad Khan or Tony Khan, his kid, they should not be allowed to get away with, we're just trying to win football games, if they bring in Tim Tebow, yeah. Because this is
unless he plays better than the guys in front of him, which I seriously doubt that.
I doubt that.
I mean, is the plan for Herb to use him like Taysom Hill?
I don't know. He wasn't a great quarterback.
I know. That thing, at and least Hill's got a decent
throwing.
That's
what he played his entire life.
Hill's got at least a decent throwing motion. I mean, he played quarterback this last season. Mm-hmm. He started games as a quarterback and put up better numbers than, I think, for the most part, more than Tebow ever did.
Probably, yeah. On the average,
I'd have to look at what Taysom Hill's numbers were, but I'm sure you look at completion percentage, yardage, things like that, it's better. Probably not total yards, because Hill...
Total yards, Hill, I don't think is
probably not there,
yet.
But I bet percentage, I bet completion percentage is probably better. Because Tebow was what, 50 in that neighborhood? Maybe
47.9.
South of it, yeah. So it's probably not a fair thing to say, hey, they'll use him like Taysom Hill. Mm-hmm. Taysom Hill can throw the football a little bit.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow, we know that story. All right, 7:22. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Text in your thoughts today. Are you happy that he's back in the NFL? I'm happy for him. I hope it somehow ends up being a nice, perhaps ending for him. Maybe the next year or two if he manages to stick on the roster and be a contributor and becomes an asset on the football field in terms of production or just what he does in special teams or whatever. So text or call us, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. They're serving your breakfast right now until 10:30 this morning at their Rimrock location, 970-242-1340. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
It's a good show.
By the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 7:26. Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Tim Tebow expected to sign a one-year deal with Jacksonville. Are you excited that Tim Tebow is coming back to the NFL after not playing for 6 years? I know a lot of people around here still have an affinity for Tim Tebow. I really like Tim Tebow. I just don't think he's a particularly good pro football player. He wasn't a particularly good minor league baseball player, but he certainly got farther than, like I said, than Michael Jordan did playing minor league baseball. Are you excited about him coming back? He's not coming back to the Broncos, but back in the league. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. All right, the Avalanche needed a win last night in regulation at Vegas, and then they need to get wins against the LA Kings, who have pretty much already... Well, they've got their golf clubs out.
Yeah.
Getting ready to hit the golf course here very, very soon.
Yeah, they're shining up the Pro V1s, that's for sure.
But last night, the Avalanche were at T-Mobile in Vegas, where the first two periods, they didn't play well at all. They got outshot 37-21. They got outshot, not in the third period, sorry, the second period, they were outshot 15-4. But they find a way to get it done last night. 2-1 win over the Golden Knights. They get it done in regulation. For Philip Grubauer, the 36 saves, and it's last night was his career-high 29th victory. And he's a couple behind the league leader, Tampa Bay's Andre Belavisky. I know I probably butchered that. Anyway, he's the league leader right now in wins. the season. So for Grubauer, big win for him last night, a huge win for Colorado because it gives them a chance with two wins over the Kings tomorrow night and Thursday to win the President's Trophy, which will give them home ice advantage throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. So a little bit of sound last night. JT Compher, as I mentioned, got the game winner about 11:33 left in the third period last night. And let's start out with Jared Bednar. Here's the Avs coach, Jared Bednar, on the victory and who he thought was the prime reason, the guy that got them over the hump that helped them win last night. And it's obviously Philip Grubauer.
Simple. Goaltending. That was it. That's how, I mean, without him, we don't have any chance in this one, in my opinion. I think Vegas was more competitive, won the bulk of the puck battles, played with more pace, better execution. Their commitment to check was strong, and I didn't think we executed what we wanted to do in that game at all. We make a couple plays, Burakovsky from Newhook to get us on the board, and then, you know, we threw a couple pucks to the net and had one go in, but simple answer, goaltending. That's the only part of the game that I like tonight. And you know what? I'll give our penalty kill credit. They sacrifice and block some shots. They got into scoring areas, and our penalty kill, I thought, were real committed and wasn't perfect, but they blocked some shots to keep them off our net to give ourselves a chance, and Grubby did the rest of the work.
Yeah, the Avalanche penalty kill 3-for-3 last night, by the way. And so for Colorado, they get the win last night. And if Vegas won last night, they would have nailed down the West Division title. They would have also nailed down the President's Trophy as well. So now the Avalanche, 2 points behind Vegas. And the Avs, they hold the tiebreaker. They have a league-high 33 regulation wins. Vegas has 29, so the Avs hold that tiebreaker. So they win the two games tomorrow and Thursday against the Kings. And then Vegas closes out at San Jose. So that would leave the Avalanche with that tie and the tiebreaker going in their favor. So last night, JT Compher gets the game winner for Colorado in the third period. Here's Compher on how the production this year hasn't been what he obviously was hoping it would be. He's also been moved around on a bunch of different lines this season. Here's JT Compher on getting the game winner and a little bit about his season so far.
Started talking about my season, obviously. It's been a little up and down, and I have played throughout the lineup, but I feel like the last month or so, I'm feeling like I'm playing my hockey again and skating and going to the net. And, you know, it was a great play by Timmy at the line and knew he'd get to the net. But yeah, it felt good to get that one tonight.
Some other notes, too, that Avs leading scorer Nathan MacKinnon was back last night. He had missed the last two games, a lower body injury. Didn't really do much last night. No points and just two shots. Andrei Burakovsky scored his 100th career goal and extended his season best point streak to 6 games. Andrei Burakovsky's played really well last month of this season.
Yeah, he's really come through when the Avs have not had a ton of scoring punch at the top of the lineup. Andrei Burakovsky and those guys kind of on his line have really kept the Avs afloat in some of these games.
All right, so the Avs get the win last night. They have the LA Kings at Ball Arena tomorrow night. Also, you have Rockies baseball. The Rockies got rained out last night. We're supposed to start that series against San Diego over at Coors Field. So they'll play tonight, and then they'll play a doubleheader coming up tomorrow, starting the afternoon tomorrow over at Coors Field against the Padres. They play 6 of their next 10 games against San Diego. They also got some bad news on Monday. First baseman C.J. Krohn, who's been a really pleasant surprise offensively for the Rockies to date, placed on the 10-day injured list with a lower back strain that's retroactive to May 7th. Krohn, who has hit .388 in his last 15 games, they're going to miss him. He's swinging at a .290 average.
He's one of their best hitters.
.889 OPS, 5 home runs. He's easily been one of their best offensive players.
Bring in Al Pujols. Bring him in. He's not doing anything right now.
Come on. Albert Pujols, come on. Go get him.
Yeah. Just let him hit .175 and hit bombs. Makes contact 1 out of 8 times, but it leaves the yard. Let's do it.
So the Rockies, they have not announced who their starter is going to be for tonight's game. Denelson Lament will get the start for the Padres. Yu Darvish will get the start tomorrow in the first game with Blake Snell, the second game starter. And then on Thursday, the Rockies get Wade Miley. He of the recent no-hitter.
Yeah. Yippee.
Wade Miley, who thought about calling it quits. We have the Davison Beetle podcast is now out today, and we talk a little bit about the number of no-hitters. I mean, it's second time that we've had, what, four no-hitters before the end of the month of May in Major League Baseball. And could we see maybe a record?
Not even the middle of May yet.
Yeah, could we see a record number of no-hitters thrown in the 2021 season?
I still say we're going to see 10 or more.
I think you're right about that. So Rockies tonight will have high school baseball. Fruita Monument hosting Montrose, pregame at 3:45 today on the team. And then as soon as we're over, we will join Rockies baseball with first pitch at 6:40 tonight between the Rocks and the Padres. All right, and the Nuggets are on the hardwood tonight. Denver trying to get the ship righted after they lost to Brooklyn the other night.
Blew a 20-point lead in that game.
So the Nuggets, they will take on the Charlotte Hornets in Charlotte tonight, 5 o'clock tip for that one for the Nuggets. And look, the one thing about the Nuggets so far, with the loss of Murray, and then, of course, Will Barton is out, that Facu Campazzo, Austin Rivers, have not, look, they're not Murray and Barton, but they've been okay. Obviously,
they've been pretty decent.
Obviously, Rivers had the huge game against his old team, the New York Knicks, about a week ago. But they've certainly have played beyond expectations. And right now for the Nuggets, you look at where they are in the Western Conference, they're a game behind the Clippers for third place right now in the West. So Nuggets taking on Charlotte tonight. That tips off at 5 o'clock this evening. All right, 7:35, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Tim Tebow is coming back to the NFL. He's expected to sign to play with Jacksonville for his former college coach Urban Meyer to play tight end. Happy that Timmy's coming back? Don't care? Your reaction to that today? Text or call 970-242-1340. All right, we will take a break and we'll come back. But right now it's time for Soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Buckeye?
Well, it kind of flew under the radar over the weekend, but the Rockies played against their former third baseman, Nolan Arenado.
Wait. They played against Nolan this last weekend?
He had a pretty good series. A couple runs scored, hit a jack on Sunday. Then after the game, they asked him what it was like. And Nolan, kind of honest about it. It was a little weird.
It felt weird. It felt weird running to third and knowing that a lot of those guys that I kind of came up with are over there. All those little things just, I didn't feel normal. I felt normal against the Mets, but it didn't feel normal against the Rockies. It just didn't feel right in a way. Once the first pitch came and once the game got going and once I got a double, it kind of went all out the window. It went all about helping the team win and finding a way to win this game. But it was weird, just seeing Story out there and, me and Story on the left side for a long time. And, I love him like a brother. And Charlie and all those guys. So it was weird. It was definitely weird. But, at the end of the day, it's we're trying to win a series. We're trying to win a game. And that's what it all came back down to.
Weird. It was a little weird.
It had to be weird. It had to be totally bizarre for him.
He doesn't look good in red, by the way. They probably should have traded him somewhere else. Red's not his color.
No, it's not.
The crisp white, just blank white and red makes him look kind of even slower than he was as a Rocky. And I don't have this hate for Nolan Arenado.
You're saying that they should have traded him to a team where the color scheme would make him look faster?
Give him at least some pinstripes to make him at least look like the jersey's moving a little bit.
I would have preferred that he would have got dealt out of the National League, but
he runs on his heels too.
Look, fleet of foot, that's never been, that's not his thing, man.
And I'll have some Nolan Arenado hate about him moving on. It's just, he was not going to win here, and I fall on his side more than I do the Rockets.
I do as well. All right, 7:37. All right, a Denver sports talk host kind of put his foot in it, commenting about an article about some of the state's best high school pitchers.
Yeah.
We're going to get to that coming up next. It's something we also talked about in the Davis and Beetle podcast. You can find it at our website, theteam1340.com. We will talk about that next, right here on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
The Team.
Touchdown every morning.
Woo! The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 741. Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Big Studios. Kevin DeBrow, right? DeBrow?
Yes.
Quite right?
The late Kevin DeBrow.
Yeah, the late Kevin DeBrow.
Died in his doorway at his home in Vegas.
Sad. Sad.
Rock stars are getting old, sadly.
Kentucky Blue with the text. Good morning, Kentucky Blue. Bigger jersey sales, Tebow or Lawrence? Who?
Tebow.
Yeah, it's a bit of a push, but yeah, Timmy might sell more jerseys there. He just might. Got one from Die Hard this morning. Good morning, Die Hard. The issue with keeping Tebow on the roster for Jacksonville is that you usually need to have your backup tight end contributing on special teams. I don't know that Tebow's going to be able to do that. He did play on special teams with the Jets, though. But he was on, the punt team.
He was, the personal protector.
Yeah. So it wasn't like he was on a lot of kickoff return.
Right.
But he does have some special teams experience with the Jets.
Yeah, your second or third string tight end, fourth string tight end, is definitely going to have to be running down covering kicks.
Absolutely. From Buffalo Mark, our colleague. Rycroft's sartorial shtick is a direct ripoff of Don Cherry's decades-old act.
But he's not as big of a D-bag as Don Cherry.
No, Rycroft's a nice guy. As for the Jags, if putting butts in the seats takes priority over winning games, why not just ship that huge teal upper deck tarp to Wembley Stadium right now? I would love to know what the NFLPA thinks of this behind closed doors. Got one from Rick. I'm rooting for Tebow. A lot of quarterbacks would have been replaced by Peyton Manning. Plus, he had a better win-loss record, better touchdown-interception ratio than Elway through the first 10 games of their respective careers.
Rick, but hold on.
But here's the thing. Through the first 10 games.
Yeah. Through their age 34 seasons, which is what this will be for Tebow, John Elway had almost 38,000 passing yards, 3 Super Bowl appearances, 199 touchdowns, and 100 wins.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Rick, I appreciate you backing Timmy Tebow. And I'm happy for Tim. This is what he wants, and I'm glad he's going to get a chance to come back and play.
There's more promise at old number 7 through 10 games than...
Exactly. A career does not end for the first 10 games that you play. Unless you're Tim Tebow. What did Elway do after that?
He only played in 5 Super Bowls after that.
And won 2. And was an MVP of one of those Super Bowls.
He played in 5 Super Bowls. So, Tim Tebow won 8 games.
So let's, once again, we can take numbers and manipulate them to make them reflect whatever we want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rick, I'm with you. I want Tebow to do well, but let's, great. He was better through the first 10 games than Elway. If every race ended in the first 10 yards, then he'd be a champion. But it doesn't end in the first 10 yards.
You know where my fandom lies when it comes to the Denver Broncos. John Elway won more games in January than Tim Tebow won at all in the NFL. So with this, through 10 games.
Okay, that's great, but...
Tim Tebow had much better passing numbers when he's thrown to Demaryius Thomas in overtime in the playoffs than John Elway ever did. Well, it's because John Elway didn't play with Demaryius Thomas. He usually won in regulation.
Matt Prater
wasn't having to kick it.
Not trying to be mean, but it's just...
From Thornton.
I just don't know if I want to roll out. Yeah, he was better through the first 10 games. But then after that, John Elway was a first ballot NFL Pro Football Hall of Famer.
I look at, though, John Elway's completion percentage. It is not that great.
No, it wasn't.
It was 56.9.
It wasn't spectacular. No, I agree. All
he
right.
had a little nuclear loose in him at times.
He did it at times. All right. There's a piece that appeared on Sunday in the Denver Post about high school pitchers in the state. Headline is Bringing the Heat, Colorado's 2021 High School Baseball Season, headlined by unprecedented number of pitchers throwing 90-plus. And they reference Regis Jesuit's Alec Willis, been clocked at 97. There are other pitchers in the state that have hit the 90s. You know, guys like Ryan Urey, which I believe might be, I think it's, yeah, it's Jared Urey's brother. Pitcher over,
so, yeah.
over at CMU. Because Jared went to Eaton. And he's an Oklahoma State pledge. Nolan McCracken from Windsor. I mentioned Alec Willis. Grayson Carter from Fairview. These are all guys. Cale Lansville at Thunder Ridge. He's committed to LSU. So there's a lot of really good arms in the state right now. A lot of those arms, in particular at the 5A level, but you're kind of, you know, sprinkled throughout some of the other classifications as well. So this article comes out. It's a great article about how good the pitching is in the state of Colorado.
Right.
Because we've never really been known for being a baseball state, if you will. Texas, Florida, California, certainly not Colorado. Well, Darren McKee, D-Mac, on the Fan over in Denver, he put this tweet out after this article came out. While the level of baseball, I'm quoting him, while the level of baseball has been high for quite a long time, but the main reason is, and this is about this article, is the specific training that these talented young guys start getting at a young age. High school has little to do with it. Sad but true. It's fun to play high school, but that's it. Well, that tweet got a lot of high school baseball coaches upset. Understandably so. Guys like Rocky Mountain coach Scott Bullock, who tweeted, "Folks, please do not believe this. True high school coaches around the state don't get their players as much as they used to, but there's still a lot of coaches working their butts off to develop baseball players and young men when they have their players. This is one parent of one player's view." Because D-Mac's kid, I can't remember where he played high school baseball, but I believe he's at CSU Pueblo now. And so, okay, so he's been around some high school baseball. He's helped coach barely some club baseball. And so here's McKee's response. Because other coaches also offered up their thoughts on this. Let me get one more here. This is from RCHS Baseball. "I'm sure Coach Johnson, Coach Bullock, Coach Danley, and a host of other high school coaches around the state that work with their athletes year-round may believe they have had more of an impact than just providing an atmosphere where kids can have fun. I believe everybody plays a role." So there's D-Mac. LOL, yikes. Talk about taking what I said out of context. The question was about kids who throw in the 90s, not an indictment of the entirety of high school coaching. You realize high school baseball is the best part of playing for most kids, right? It's what kids want to succeed in. Okay, how is it taken out of context? High school has nothing to do with this. Sad but true. It's fun to play high school, but that's it. How does that get taken out of context? That's not taken out of context. That's what you typed in. That's what you tweeted out. That high school, the club baseball is more important.
Mm-hmm.
It's more important for kids. They get better coaching. And then high school baseball is now somewhat meaningless. It's just for fun.
And that's a bad take.
That's a terrible take.
This also is why, this is where Twitter is, again, the worst place to go for this. Because you don't have time, you don't have space for nuance. Now, do you get more specialized and more focused coaching club than high school baseball?
Sure.
Yeah, probably.
I don't disagree with that. No, I don't disagree with that.
And that's what I mean, where the nuance and the limitations of Twitter are probably the bad place to put this take, because you only have, what, 260 characters, 220 characters now? You can't flesh out more nuance than that. And then what could be a solid take, and, yeah, you know, mildly warm a jalapeno, not a poblano, or whatever is more spicy. I'm not, you know, whatever.
I don't.
You see,
don't know.
You're with me.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it could be a warm right. take, not a hot take.
Exactly.
This turns into a hot take because he has to trim it down, and now it sounds dumb. He sounds like he's just
a backpedal.
Well, that too, but he coming out after the high school coaches and saying it's just for fun is dumb. Because there are some kids that
Northern Colorado, not CSU Pueblo. His son plays in Northern Colorado.
Gotcha.
I wanted to fact check that.
The fact that some kids can't play club baseball. They're really good, but for whatever reason, finance, time, whatever, they can't play club baseball, so they play high school baseball. I don't think it is just for fun. Some of those kids, that's the only baseball they can play is high school baseball to get discovered and maybe turn that into a career. Some kids can play club baseball, and that's great. Some kids can't. And I think the two can live in a world. They can coexist in a world together because club baseball is not trying to replace little leagues and high school baseball. It's just another avenue to play baseball. That's all.
I'm just saying, look, if you feel that way, if you're him,
mm-hmm.
then be committed to that. If that's what you think, okay, fine.
Right.
I don't agree with that. I think it's a ridiculous take. But don't start all of a sudden when you get some heat from people. Start backpedaling. Think about what you put in first, what you're typing in,
mm-hmm.
and how it sounds before you hit the button to post it, to tweet it. To me, it came off as very dismissive of high school baseball, dismissive of the role that high school baseball coaches play in the lives of their players.
This is totally on brand for him.
But yeah, then he gets called out by guys like Scott Bullock and others.
Mm-hmm.
And whoa. I wasn't trying to insult anybody. Yes, you did. Yes, that was your intent. Don't tell me that wasn't your intent. Okay, it's great that your kid's playing college baseball. That's great. It's to me, and I don't know what club team it sound like. I think McKee helps coach. Says Colorado Flash Baseball. So apparently he's very involved in club baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. That's great for him.
Right.
He's been involved in his son's life. I applaud that. But don't sit here and crap on high school baseball coaches that don't make jack squat doing it. They do mm-hmm. it because they love doing it. It's a passion for them. Nobody's getting rich off being a high school coach in any sport. Okay?
Right.
Club coaches, they make money off of it. And I'm not saying that club coaches are all mercenaries. They're not. I think most of them care about the kids and about their development and things like that. But let's be honest, you're being paid to work with kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a thing where you're a high school teacher or you have another job and then you also go and coach. That to me is a true, true labor of love. And I'm not trying to knock club coaches. Because we know guys like AJ and others that do volleyball and other people that we've known that do club sports, and it's a commitment and I appreciate that. But for DMAC, for Darren McKee here to crap on high school baseball that it's not a big deal, it's just fun and it's not a big thing, and then backtrack. Come on, man. That's ridiculous. Yeah, like you said, this is on brand for him.
Mm-hmm.
I've never met him. I've listened to him a few times. I know he'd probably tweet out.
He'd probably need to tweet out
if he ever heard about it, if he felt the time that we're a bunch of local yokel hacks that don't know crap.
Or
okay,
mountain people.
Great, that's fine. I don't care. I don't care what he thinks. I do care, though.
Hey, but if the pile gave him heat, he'd backtrack on that.
Yeah,
too.
But I do care about high school baseball. And the coaches that spend a lot of their time coaching kids and being involved in their lives. I think this is an insult. It's ridiculous. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with hour two.